philosophy and method of cult evangelism in general, not only for Mormons, but for other groups. It's important, first of all, to do what Clembo does when he gets into the situation first. He discovers the facts. In our case, it may be because individuals are unique people. They may have a worldview which is substantially different than their religion would have them to believe. Even if they accept the full worldview of their religion, they may have something that's some particular point within it that is much more important to them than the rest. That's what you want to talk to, is what is really, really, really important to a person personally. If we were to help to try to illustrate that over against Lutheranism, doctrine of salvation by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone, apart from works, is the center and the core of Lutheran belief. But even when you accept that fully and heartily and cheerfully, sometimes what means something most to you is something a little bit apart from that. So for instance, for me, the whole area of objectivity in the faith and what it means is most important to me. So if you really want to get my attention, you talk to me about how I can depend on God and what He did for me, regardless of how I feel or what I do, because God said it in His Word, and I can look at it, and I know it will be the same today, tomorrow, and forever. And I can go and I can find the register of the congregation that baptized me, and I can look down and I can see I was baptized. And that means most to me.
As a part of this investigation, assuming that many of them are not well acquainted with the basic teachings of faith, it seems like it would be appropriate to reflect with them on what you understand are the basic teachings.
Oh, sure.
Without being aggressive about it, right?
Oh, sure.
Run down to something basic.
Well, the most common Mormon that you're going to run into is going to be the elder knocking on your door to visit you, the missionary. The way I open up a conversation with a missionary, no matter who he is to say, well, you know, I am really, really grateful for your interest in me, that you have taken the time, and if it's the Mormon, that you have spent your own money to come and talk to me about your faith. That really impresses me, and I would be happy to talk to you about what really means something to you and what really means something to me, and that is our spiritual faiths. So why don't you come on in and sit down? That's the way I introduce a conversation, be it with a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or whoever it is. And then I go on to know and say, look, you know, we can go anywhere and we can talk about anything, but why don't we get down to what really means something? And I got a question that might help you. How about this? Why don't you tell me if you had one thing that you could communicate to me, one thing that you wanted me to learn today, personally, what would that be? If you could teach me only one thing. Or on another angle, what means most to you personally as a Mormon? Or why are you a Mormon? And replying to them with similar statements as to what means most to you as a Lutheran, or if you had to teach them one thing, what would you teach them, will tell them exactly where you're at as well. And that sort of a conversation gets down to what's really important. That's what I mean by discovering the personal material principle, if we want to get into theological language. What really makes the person tick, the center of their worldview, because that's what you're going to go for. Okay, what I mean, do not reveal more than necessary. You don't need to hit them with a barrage of data that shows that Joseph Smith was a crook, or that Brigham Young drank and smoked and carried on, regardless of what the word of wisdom said. You know, that information is not necessary, especially on the first encounter. It's most important to focus on the gospel. You don't need to tell them how much you necessarily know. I watched one set of Jehovah's Witnesses go progressively paler as they asked me questions and discovered, yes, I was a vicar and what that meant, and yes, I've I've been studying these things. No, I didn't come to the church, to the same church as the couple that I came over to visit with them with. I had met them in a class that I was teaching at my church. Oh, that class was about Jehovah Witnesses. yes, I do know a little Greek. May I read from the Greek New Testament? a whiter shade of pale with each step, you know. The less, you know, you're not being dishonest necessarily. It's just not, it's not relevant information. And anything you can do so that basically what you're doing is working together towards the truth, which works for any two people that are sincere about talking to each other. Working together towards the truth is a lot more useful than all the other stuff. What you're wanting to do is you're wanting to correct their understanding of what law and gospel is about. And you can do it in many ways, like you can scratch your head and say, boy, that sounds hard, what you'd have to do. I know I couldn't keep it, and even if I did it on the outside, my head wouldn't be there. I know as a sinner that that would be awful. You know, that's why I'm so glad that Jesus died in my place. You see what I'm saying? Okay, humility cracks the case. Now watch Columbo. Almost all the time, the people who deal with Columbo think he is stupid. You know, absolutely stupid. He is so humble. You go, I just can't understand this. Can you help me with this? We found an ice pick on the scene of the crime. And then the criminal may say something like, well, there's an ice freezer downstairs. Oh, I wish I had thought about that. Thank you. You've explained that for me. Oh, but it had your fingerprints on it. Can you help? I just don't understand. I'm completely confused. Right. And so, basically, that's his approach. Now, my approach is fairly similar. You know, they'll talk for a while, and then they'll say something which does not match what they said, or they'll quote a scripture verse, and it doesn't mean what they say it does. And so I basically start to frown in the puzzle, and I think, you know, I really don't understand how that fits together. Can you help me with this? This is what I'm thinking. You know, like with Jehovah Witness, you know, that this passage says, the only begotten God who is at the bosom of the Father, he's made him known. And that sort of sounds like he's God to me. I just don't understand. Can you help me with that? Well, over here. Well, okay. You know, and what I do is I accept any explanation they give me on face value. At most, I might say, well, that makes sense, even if it doesn't answer the full case. And then I present another piece of information. And if you're going to do negative information like Joseph Smith is a fraud, introducing that information piece by piece and letting the chips fall where they may and letting them stew about it and investigate it themselves is much more useful than trying to demolish their faith. Their faith would self-destruct of its own accord when they attempt to apply the truth to it. And you can provide the ammunition, but you do it humbly. I better watch what's going on. Okay. If you can, plan on a long haul, multiple meetings. That's where you really get the chance to work with people. Okay. Right.
What are you doing to come back to increasingly more higher, more educated people?
Well, it's the same procedure. Every person is still a human being, and every person still has their wants and desires, and every person, when confronted with the mirror of the law without anything standing between them and the mirror, are going to go, eek. They may run for cover, they may despair, they may do any number of things when they look, but if they're honest with what they see, they're not going to like what they see. And if they hear the gospel clearly, they're going to react the same way, even if they don't show it on the surface because they're afraid of what the Mormon next to them is going to think. All of that put together, they're going to, it's going to register with them. And we're not necessarily out for a conversion. And that's one of the liberating things about understanding things in a Lutheran sense of the view, is that our job is witness. Our job is not conversion. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's all you have to do is talk to them. And anybody can do that. And the more you know about them, the better you can do. Okay, I provided you a list of resources, and I don't know, when were we supposed to finish? What was that? Right about now. I'm willing to keep answering questions for you as long as you'd like to go, since we're the last session and I'm not depriving anybody of anything.
But what I'm picking up from you is that even though they have fought that process of salvation, it still comes out at the bottom line that very much obedience.
Right, that's it.
That is a good way of lighting it. At least, like, it's hard to get people on it in salvation. Because they're very much salvation too.
Yeah. All you have to do is tighten the law up.
Yeah.
Right. And that's basically it on that end. And most of the way I tighten the law up is I apply it to myself. Very humble way to handle it. And a lot more useful than pointing a finger at them and saying, see, you really don't keep the word of wisdom. In your mind, you really want a cup of coffee. Yeah. You know, that doesn't ever really help. But when you say, well, you know, gosh, you know, it is so hard to live up to God's way of life. I've tried so hard all of my life. And that's why I thank God that his salvation is free and clear.
This is something not connected to this, but
Mm-hmm.
I
Well, at the moment, they are non-discriminatory. There was a time in which, and if you read Brigham Young, it's still there. And it's a problem for them if anybody really wants to take honestly the whole notion of progressive revelation, which they have, which is that all prophets really have something to say, that is really all prophets are scripture, what they say. Fortunately for them, progressive revelation says that you believe the latest prophet and all the rest, where they differ, it's sort of like amending the Constitution. Okay. And so basically the latest word on the racial question is that it doesn't make a difference. That's the lowest end. That's the pastor. Oh, well, they don't have that same concept.
There's a level where blacks are not admitted to that.
Well, there was many years ago. But like I say, there has been a revelation since then, and the whole ballgame has changed. It used to be that the priesthood was not granted to a black, which meant that they, in effect, could not get a temple recommended and enter the temple at all. Which sort of puts a crimp in your style when you have to do everything in the temple. And finally, that was removed by a revelation from God. And they rejoiced that God had changed his mind, especially seeing they want to do work in Africa. So, the prophet, seer, revelator, the president of the church. Yeah, one individual is all that counts. In practice, it's basically the Council of the 12 Apostles, which is, let me see if I can handle the numbers right. There are 15 members of the Council of the 12 Apostles. Okay, yeah, there's the president, the prophet, seer, revelator, the president of the first presidency. Everything is called the presidency everywhere down the line, so you have to number them. This is the first presidency. Is essentially the successor to Joseph Smith. prophecy or revelator. He has two counselors, and they're essentially second and third banana. And then there's a council of 12 apostles, which is effectively a cabinet. Then there are a group of 70 other assistants, which is effectively a congress, a unicameral, and then the rest of the church, effectively, is the way it's evolved. And basically, you move up more or less by seniority. And the person who's been on the 70, the longest, replaces a dead apostle. The person who's been longest among the apostles ends up in the first presidency. The person who's been in the first presidency the longest ends up the prophet. There was a time there where the prophet didn't have two gray cells to rub together. It was basically senile. And the first counselor ran the whole church, for all intents and purposes. Well, they used to be absolutely voting. They used to almost always vote as a block. That got them in a lot of trouble in Illinois. Initially, they ended up being very favored, but after a while, it got them in a lot of trouble. And they don't command a vote any longer, right? But they tend to vote for the same people, and they will almost always vote a Mormon over a non-Mormon. And there are a substantial number of Mormons in Congress, and they have had what they call a Council of the 50, which has been a political group initially set up by Brigham Young with having in mind taking over the government of the United States. The group still exists, and many of its members are congressmen. One in particular is Senator Orrin Hatch, who has been occasionally mentioned as a possible presidential candidate. I'm not sure if Biden is. I'm not sure. But Orrin Hatch is. And, but of course, I'm a lot more worried about vice presidential candidate Al Gore, who is a Hindu. Yeah, who is a Hindu. Yep, he sure is. He is a confirmed Hindu calling himself a Southern Baptist. That disturbs me, because they have been the ones who have not been beyond to influence every area of our culture. And to have one in high government does not particularly please me. So you can guess who I'm not voting for, even though I'm not supposed to tell. Sure, these are basically mostly the books that are quoted on my list. Let me show you what I got.
The dean of cult evangelism was Walter Martin before his death. He was a cult existential encyclopedia of the main group. Okay. When talking about Mormonism itself, the chief one to think about in terms of the Christian end is Gerald and Anderson. Gerald and Sandra Tanner's book, Changing World of Mormonism, also from a Lutheran perspective, but from the Wisconsin Synod, it means of another God, where this is Jehovah's Witnesses. It's not me. This one here is our How to Respond to series, by and large, is very good. It comes out of CPH, and the Latter-day Saints is one of them, although I'm told that that's one of the weaker books in this series. Okay. Let the pipeline flow a little bit here. This is the first book that I know of that talks about evangelizing post-Pentecostals. So we're trying to get in there. They suggest what I was trying to get district presidents, not presidents, to actually do, which is to set up specific missionaries at large to various Pentecostals. Send a missionary at large in Utah for the Mormons. You can send a missionary to Brooklyn for the Jehovah's Witnesses. So forth and so on. This is a facsimile produced by the Mormon Church of the 1830 Book of Mormon. There's the issue. I can never afford the real one, which would be somewhere at $300,000-$400,000. Everything is authentic about that, except for the U.S. accomplishment. Except for the quality of the thing. So, of course, I think that one up. The Mormon Church has given the text of the Book of Mormon to make it fit their theology and develop over time. Many of the problems with that. So, it's good to have the original floating out. This is Gospel Mormon. Just to show you, they do work in other languages. This is what Minds of the Bible is, the standard reference works of the Mormon Church, Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, and Doctrine and Covenants.
As far as their version of the Bible?
Well, basically they use the King James Version.
There are Jesus' names.
Well, not the King James. Well, not the King James now. Joseph Smith did an inspired version of translation without text, which is very interesting since it isn't a real translation. But that's not officially canonized by the LDS Church. By the minority church, the RLDS, the organized church, it is. Well, they rotate around. They study all of their scriptures. The Bible is one of the set of them. Matter of fact, one Christian pastor was a Mormon Sunday school teacher and was assigned the Book of Romans to teach. And he went home and, you know, he couldn't find the Bible on the shelf because they weren't accustomed. He dug around and found a modern language version. Sitting down and reading the Book of Romans from cover to cover in a modern language version, and all of a sudden hit him that salvation was by grace through faith for Christ's sake, and he became a Christian on the spot. Well, so terribly excited, he brought it to a Sunday school class and silence. Dead silence. And eventually he was given the pan food out. But God's Word, all by itself,
has the Word written without the Bible.
Right. Yeah, the seeds of the faith are present there, and the spirit is so full of some strange ones. This is basically their catechism.
There's,
well, that's written by the quorum of the First Presidency, the three on the top, or by their surrogates whom they approved it. So basically, it's like a Sunday school curriculum that comes out of CPH. So many hands are on it that you don't bother to put an author on it. That actually is fairly common practice. Although the Jehovah Witnesses do that more than we do. Even when they're single author, they don't print the author because they feel that that's calling attention to one person, and one person ought not to take the glory. What it means is they're trying to hide. You want to get down to the truth. The only other thing on my sheet is I've given you some current statistics. Currently, the Mormons top 7 million worldwide and 4 million in the United States. They have been increasing. They've virtually doubled in 10 years in size. They have 40,000 missionaries worldwide, and one of their great new mission projects is they're hoping to swing 20,000 of them into Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union in the next 5 years. A friend of mine, Jim Valentine, just came back from Latvia, and he said he saw Mormon missionaries on the street in Latvia already. And he's a layman who does cult evangelism on a regular basis, and so he was over there to brief the Latvian Lutheran Church on the cults. And they said, yes, we need to know about Mormons. They're here. So, okay, well, for what that was worth, I hope that
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Sure. If I ever can help with anything, let me know.
They're out there. That's